He did it again. Man, he did it again. That's now 7 home runs for Albert Pujols in his last 10 games. And we could say it's a major surprise because he only had 6 home runs in the first half of the entire season. But it's still Albert Pujols. The man is, well, he's called the machine for a reason. Isn't that what we heard from Drew Smiley following this first game of a 5-game series at Wrigley Field in Chicago? Home run number 693. But that wasn't the only star power, the only dazzling display at Wrigley Field just a few hours ago. And the pitch he hit, I don't know how many guys would be able to hit that pitch, let alone hit it out of the field for a home run. Fantastic. I feel like I need to listen or watch. Sometimes I can see them on TV, but more often I'm listening to Cardinals radio every time now. Not only do they have the longest win streak in the game currently, not only do they have a nice grip on the NL Central, but we are seeing a march toward history. He leads off the 7th with a drive to left center field, 7th home run in 10 games, number 14 overall in what he insists will be his final big league season. And even in Chicago, on the north side, with the arch rivals on the field, there were cheers from the crowd, of course, because now everyone wants to see history. To that end, and we will talk about Albert Pujols, and I'm all about it. I've been on board since the beginning, him reaching 700 home runs. He's only 3 from tying Alex Rodriguez, 4 from moving into 4th place all time, and obviously 7 away from that rarefied air, that elite club that features just 3 other hitters in all of baseball history. It's a great story. We've been on it forever. As I say, for a while it looked like it might be a major long shot. But to that end, this is going to be, like I said, I'm speaking it into existence, it's going to be an amazing moment, a milestone that for many sports fans will be one of the greatest they've ever seen. That's the question. In sports, what's the most impressive, memorable, unforgettable milestone you've seen? And I don't mean in person necessarily, though if you saw it in person, even better. There's some pretty emotional, impressive, historic moments in my 20 years in sports, to be sure. Now, a lot of them blend together, but depending upon your age, your perspective will be different. One way that Albert Pujols has matched Barry Bonds, who set a major league record by homering off more pitchers than any other, Albert now has that record with Barry Bonds. 449 different pitchers. Drew Smiley, come on down. I love this. And I also giggle every time someone tells me that I don't talk enough about baseball, or that I never talk about baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So we're going to get to Cardinals Cubs coming up. And to that end, the Brewers are trying to cut into the Cardinals' lead in the NL Central. Brewers on the road in Los Angeles, where the Dodgers are like a buzzsaw, and yet they are not unbeatable. We've got the announcement from one Matt Rhule about his starting quarterback for week 1. Carolina Panthers and the Cleveland Browns kicking off the season against one another. Of course they are. Seriously, whoever had the foresight and guessed correctly, thinking that Baker Mayfield would end up on the Panthers roster, there were only so many teams where he would end up, only so many teams where he might be traded. Whoever guessed correctly and made this a week one battle deserves a raise. Or maybe to get the office right next to Roger Goodell. One or the other. I mean, from the category of you can't make this stuff up, somebody actually thought that far ahead and made it happen in the schedule. It's crazy.
I would love to show up at somebody's cubicle.
He's not going to say anything like that now. He is on his best behavior in Charlotte. So Baker Mayfield is the choice. What is Sam Darnold's reaction? Plus, Tom Brady is back with the Buccaneers, and I'm not going to say I told you so, but I did at least clue you into the idea that he was likely on a vacation, that this was something that was pre-planned, maybe going back to his 40 days and 40 nights of retirement, and that this was not any emergency. I don't know where the idea came out that it might be an emergency of some sort. Nah, Todd Bowles, decidedly unconcerned at all about his quarterback being away. But he is back with the Bucs and getting ready for the season opener, which is now 17 days away. What? No, how is that even possible? It's possible, peeps. It is possible. Aaron Rodgers is whipping that receiving core into shape. And what else from football? Oh, my goodness, Mike Tomlin. How could I forget? We do love anything we get from Mike Tomlin. And I mean pretty much anything.
They move their units.
He could be reading a phone book and I would find it amusing.
It gives you that tingle.
All of that. We do not fear sudden death.
I don't fear sudden death.
That was the one producer Jay dropped on me last night when I was choking on the honey roasted peanuts that he gave me. That is never happening again, ever. I'm never eating. Well, I did have some fruit snacks that he decided to try to bring out after that. I've never choked on a fruit snack before, but I nearly choked on those honey roasted peanuts. So that's a mess.
Don't blink.
Don't blink. I could barely speak. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What's a major, memorable, unforgettable milestone in sports that you feel privileged to have witnessed? I know it's not the case anymore, but do you guys remember a couple of years ago? I'd have to go back and remember exactly what season it was, but Drew Brees became the all-time touchdown leader in NFL history. Now, again, it's not the case anymore. But he had both the passing yards and the touchdown record for a while. The touchdown record. Why do I feel like, okay, so I'm going to remember this. The passing yards record happened on Monday Night Football. Sunday or Monday Night Football? Shoot, now see, this is what happens. I talk myself in and out of things. When Drew Brees passed Peyton Manning, he, for a while there, until Tom Brady passed him, was the leader in career passing yards. A Monday Night Football. Impressive that you got that so quickly. And so I just remember watching that and the excitement. It took place in New Orleans, of course. It had to. It couldn't have taken place anywhere else. And it was on national TV. And it was one of those moments that gave you chills, but also electric. And to be able to watch that, to watch it live, and his interactions with his family, the smiles, and of course, the Saints fans with their standing ovations and their excitement, it was a pretty electric atmosphere. And so that was one that I really enjoyed watching in person. I really enjoyed watching firsthand. Not in person, but firsthand. Now it's since been eclipsed. There are some records that maybe you've seen that won't be eclipsed. I sometimes lament that I've missed the golden age, or I missed the golden age in baseball. I would have loved to see Ted Williams bat 400. Or to see the longest hitting streak in baseball history, right? Some of those things, Babe Ruth. Well, we get the modern day version of Babe Ruth, sort of, with Shohei Ohtani. I actually had dinner with some friends of mine, and their son is a new baseball fan. He's 10 years old. And he, well, first of all, he was asking me all kinds of fun questions. He likes to quiz me now that he knows what I do for a living, sort of. So he asked me if I was going to be talking about the Mets and the Yankees on my radio show. And I told him, yes, yes, of course I was. And then he asked me if I would like to be Shohei Ohtani. But he thought he wouldn't, because it would be too difficult to both hit and pitch in the same game. I was like, yeah, that's kind of the idea. But to have seen Joe DiMaggio hit in 56 straight games, we've seen some guys come close-ish. But to have seen that happen would have been pretty amazing. But I wasn't around in the 40s. And probably a lot of you weren't around in the 40s. So what's one unforgettable, memorable sports milestone that you're psyched that you got to see in your lifetime? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, thank you for all of your tweets on Monday. I know a lot of you were checking out my photos. And it's always good to interact with you either there or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So yes, memorable, unforgettable milestones in sports that you had the chance to witness. I don't necessarily mean in person, but I do love being a witness to history, right? It happens a lot in sports. Crazy, right? Because sports have been around forever, and yet every year there are accomplishments and achievements that we have never seen before. It's always something fresh and generally new and exciting, and no one show is ever like the last one, except for, oh my gosh, the summer where all we did was talk about Deflategate. I never want to do that again. That was the worst summer ever. All right, so coming up, we're going to have the chance to get a first-person perspective on what Albert Pujols is doing. Also, what Jordan Montgomery has done since he's joined the St. Louis Cardinals. It was really a 1-2 punch for the Cards in Chicago on Tuesday. Monday.
And Pujols hits it out to deep left. At the wall! Gone! 693! 693 home runs! A historic home run! The 449th different pitcher he's hit a home run against. He's tied with Bonds, first all-time. Also, his 30th career homer at Wrigley. 693. The 1-1 pitch. Here it is for Nick Madrigal. A ground ball to Albert Pujols. He bobbles it, picks it up, underhands to Montgomery. He gets the first in time. A Redbird winner. As the Cardinals have won game one of this five-game series, 1-0, and they've won 8 in a row now.
You hear the two voices on Cardinals radio. I was actually listening live through the last couple innings of the game. In fact, I was texting producer Jay? Did I text you about Jordan Montgomery? Yeah, I did. The fact that he was through 8 innings and still was not even at 90 pitches. And so I was thrilled that he was able to get back out there on the mound for the 9th and retired the last batter of the game on a bouncer to first base, to Albert Pujols, on his 99th pitch.
A Redbird winner!
First time in Jordan Montgomery's career he's ever pitched past the 7th inning. A complete game, one hit, shutout win, with no walks, 7 strikeouts, only 99 pitches. That is the definition of efficiency. And how about this? And then we'll get to our break. Montgomery, since he got traded from the Yankees, is 4-0 for the Cardinals with a 0.35 ERA. So I'm thinking he's out to prove the Yankees made a grave mistake.
Hooligans.
But the Yankees did get the upper hand on the Mets on Monday night. See, I'm already advancing past Tuesday. There goes the perfect show. I'm sorry to disappoint you. It really is just Monday night. But it was a pretty impressive Monday night for one Albert Pujols as well as Jordan Montgomery. So we'll talk Cardinals baseball in the NL Central with Katie Wu of The Athletic, who will join us next. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. What impressive, unforgettable, memorable sports milestones have you been privileged to see? On Twitter, on Facebook, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The 1-2. And Pujols hits it out to deep left. At the wall! Gone! 693! 693 home runs! A historic home run! The 449th different pitcher he's hit a home run against. He's tied with Bonds, first all time. Also his 30th career homer at Wrigley. 693.
I mean, we don't look for a pitch up and 3 feet, 4 feet off the plate, you know. It's just something that you react on and just put a good wood. I'm always being a good fastball hitter, up, especially up, and you know, just glad they went out of the ballpark and gave us the lead.
I'm not sure how you even get to that pitch, let alone hit it out. His first at bat, the one off the wall, he's just, everything he hits right now is hard. I like what we're seeing. Everybody's locked in. He's doing a really nice job and takes some really good at bats, but overall, the way the guys are competing, it's fun to watch. Let's not, some of the defense too. I mean, Eddie's play there, sliding grab in the grass, the pick on Albert's end, all of it, just playing really good baseball.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
He was already a legend. He was already an MVP. He was already a World Series champion, and he was already headed for the Hall of Fame. But to see Albert Pujols track down history has been really amazing. Number 693 for him in Chicago. So at Wrigley Field, off Drew Smiley. You hear him talk about the pitch that he hit. Yeah, it was a little bit high. And then Oliver Marmol, the manager who is younger than him, giving Albert Pujols credit for igniting the Cardinals, now an 8-game win streak. The call on Cardinals Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Really excited to head to Chicago now. Welcome Katie Wu, who covers the Cardinals for The Athletic. Katie, what's it been like to see Albert catch fire and hit now 7 home runs in his last 10 games?
Hey, Amy, you know, I think it's been surreal. I mean, listening to the call from Cardinals play-by-play man Dan McLaughlin there on 693, I mean, the amount of milestones and accomplishments that he had to rattle off and after just one home run, I think speaks to the overwhelming success that Albert Pujols has had, and to see him resurge, not just himself, but this Cardinals team. Well, it's a nothing short of storybook for the St. Louis fans and really fans in baseball. I mean, when the Cardinals decided to bring Pujols back on a one-year contract to end his career in St. Louis, I think it was really easy for fans to say, well, this is clearly a nostalgia move from the Cardinals. But that's not really what it was at all. The Cardinals were very adamant that they believed that Albert Pujols could benefit this team hitting against left-handed pitching, and he has definitely somehow exceeded that expectation.
Had a couple of plays in the field, too, at first base in the late stages to preserve the shutout, along with some of the other defense behind Jordan Montgomery. When Oliver says that he's igniting the team, how do you see that? How does it work on the field?
You know, I think it's really similar, and it's rare that this happens where the igniting of the team is similar to how Pujols is igniting the fan base. I mean, you look at the Cardinals, and it's easy to think of the ages with Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina and Pujols, of course, but the core of that Cardinals team is guys in their young 20s, mid-20s, that really don't know baseball without Albert Pujols. Some of these guys are playing with their favorite player, and to see the resurgence, to see the ability, to see the domination again, I mean, Pujols is 42 years old, swinging the bat like he's 22 again. That puts such a charge in this clubhouse. I mean, on the field says enough. Off the field, Pujols is first in the cages with these younger guys. He's always working, always taking extra reps, always showing things to these younger guys. I mean, you have players like Dylan Carlson, Lars Nootbaar, young outfielders that are going to be the future of this Cardinals team, going to Pujols every at-bat saying, what are you seeing here? How can I get better? How can I improve? So that kind of stuff, again, it seems storybook. It doesn't seem real, and you're seeing Albert Pujols at his greatest one last time, and I think it's been such a treat for the baseball world.
How was it to be at these last few games before they went to Chicago in St. Louis with the buzz in the crowd?
Well, you know, Amy, it's different when you're working games. You're constantly checking stats, you're scores, you're keeping score, you're checking Twitter, having conversations in the press box. Yeah, that all ceases when Pujols steps up to the plate.
Awesome.
Everyone is locked in because you just don't know what you're going to see. I was actually in the stands with a friend saying hi in the seventh inning when Pujols goes up to face Drew Smyly for the third time. And I said, hey, I got to pay attention because I just feel like something's going to happen here. And somehow, in some way, it's both surprising and not, and what he's been able to do.
Oh, fantastic. Katie Wu is with us from Chicago, where the Cardinals and the Cubs just started a 5-game series, and we get history, not just from Albert Pujols in home run number 693, but also Jordan Montgomery. First time he's ever pitched past the seventh inning in his career, and he is pitching some kind of wonderful since he became a St. Louis Cardinal. What does he have to say for this stretch in which he's gone 4-0 with an ERA of 0.35?
No, it's incredible. I think this is a Cardinals team that was really searching for rotation answers come the trade deadline. President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak addressed that in trading for Montgomery and Jose Quintana. The Cardinals are a combined 7-0 and starts that, 8-0 now, and starts that Montgomery and Quintana have, you know, taken the mound for. Montgomery has really credited. I mean, he's always had the skill. The Yankees never saw him as a player that could, or a pitcher that could go deep in games. Cardinals needed him to. Based on the 5 games in 4 days, the doubleheader tomorrow, the bullpen having to cover a lot of innings over the last 2 games. Really, Montgomery has said that's what he likes to do. He likes to compete. He's a strike thrower, and he's credited Yadier Molina, who's returned from the injured list and has really carried the rotation in terms of stabilizing it. He says that he's never really used his glove-sized fastball before, but Yadi saw it after their first outing and really encouraged an emphasis on using that fastball more, locating it more to the third base side of the plate, and then using the sinker to play off of that. That's paid dividends. Montgomery has been probably one of the best trade deadline pickups for the Cardinals in recent history. I mean, he's allowed 1 earned run in 25 and two-thirds to begin his Cardinals tenure, and has not walked a batter in his last 15 innings. So I would say pretty good trade.
Does he ever mention the Yankees, or can you not get that out of him?
He's actually asked us to not mention the Yankees. He has said, you know, I was traded 3 weeks ago. I'm a Cardinal now. This is where I want to be.
Nice.
But I did see some reports that the Yankees were watching the end of the Cardinals game and were really happy for their former teammate today.
You mentioned Yadi, and it just kind of popped in my brain. It's hard to think about the Cardinals with someone else behind the plate because he's been such a staple for them for so long, also 40 years old. Who is the heir apparent to Yadier Molina as the catcher of the Cardinals?
That's a great question. I mean, the Cardinals have seen some improvements with their reserve catcher, Andrew Kisner, but they also have their top catching prospect, Ivan Herrera, long been regarded to take over the reins, if you will, when Yadier Molina retires. I mean, they're by no means asking him to fill that void. That is probably an impossible task, but that is someone that Yadi has mentored through spring training, over the off season. He might be a little bit away from being major league ready right now, which is, makes the offseason, I think, really important for the Cardinals, that I think it'll be interesting to see if they decide to trade for a catcher or even sign, you know, Wilson Contreras from the Cubs. He'll be a free agent just to kind of bridge that gap. But certainly it'll be a very perplexing decision for the Cardinals to make. I mean, Yadier Molina's been behind the plate for whatever for the Cardinals.
Yes.
So it will take some getting used to.
I mean, it's pretty unique to have the triumvirate, if you will, with Albert Pujols being back, Yadier Molina, and then Adam Wainwright, one of my favorite pitchers in the majors for everything he brings to the clubhouse as well as to the mound. The three of them all departing, riding off to the sunset at the same time. I mean, I don't know that I can remember a time when we've seen three such important members of an organization all depart simultaneously.
No, I think, you know, it's actually, I think Adam Wainwright's building a case for staying another year.
Nice.
I mean, he turns 41 at the end of the month. He's been the Cardinals' ace now for two consecutive seasons. You look upon the National League leaderboards, he's ranked fifth in innings pitched. He's missed just one start this season. He has been the workhorse the Cardinals expected him to be, and he's had to carry even more weight with Jack Flaherty gone for most of the season with injury. So, I mean, Wainwright said, I don't think he's made a decision yet, but it's certainly, I think, building a case for if he wants to come back for 2023, he has the ability to.
Katie Wu covers the Cardinals for The Athletic with us from Chicago, fresh off that big 1-0 win that extended the streak to 8 games. What else is behind the surge, Katie?
I think this is a matter of a Cardinals team that's finally found its consistency. I mean, in the first half, St. Louis was searching. They really didn't have an answer in form of the rotation. I mean, Steven Matz, their big offseason acquisition, has been hurt most of the year. They expected Jack Flaherty, that I mentioned, to return and be the ace for the rotation. Both have been hindered by injuries. Miles Michaelis has had a remarkable comeback season. He's missed the last 18 months from injury. But, you know, as you know, Amy, you can't rely on Adam Wainwright and Miles Michaelis to carry your 5-man rotation. You need 3 others to step up. So it goes back to how the Cardinals addressed the trade deadline. Obviously, they were linked for Juan Soto. Instead, they went for their obvious need. They got 2 durable, reliable, experienced veteran pitchers. Quintana and Montgomery have restabilized that rotation and rejuvenated that clubhouse. And you ask any player, no matter position or role, and they'll say starting pitching is the catalyst for that team's success. Cardinals are known throughout baseball for being a defense-first team, but their offense has been very productive. I mean, they have probably the National League MVP in Paul Goldschmidt and someone that's probably going to finish top 3 in MVP voting in Nolan Arenado. And they just seem to be clicking all at the same time. I think what you're seeing now is a team that is convicted that they can win because they have the pieces that they were missing so direly in the first half.
Is there an expectation that Flaherty could be back in the rotation before the end of the regular season? Because he's pitching in AA, right? Or AA, AAA?
Yes, so he just finished his third rehab start, his second with AA Springfield, and he's slated for his 4th rehab start with AAA Memphis on Friday. He'll be right along those 80 pitches. The Cardinals are hoping to activate him either right after that start or maybe doing one after, depending how he recovers. But he's eligible to come off the 60-day IL on August 26th. Cardinals will likely wait until the September 1st when rosters expand, so they don't have to make a corresponding move. And he'll be slotted right back into the rotation, assuming that he recovers well and is healthy. And I could not think of a bigger boost for this Cardinals team than Albert Pujols going for 700, a padded lead in the division, and their ace pitcher coming back and leading the rotation for the final month of the regular season.
Before I let you go, I have to ask, well, first let me just say, I was surprised when the Cardinals made the managerial change. It's clear that Oliver Marmol had been working toward this opportunity. They really like him in the organization. He's not new in baseball, even if this is his first managerial job at the big league level. What does he bring to the table that's different from what they had?
I think he brings a different perspective and a different look, and it's not like prior managers were unwilling to embrace the modern side of the game. I mean, the Cardinals are a very traditional ball club. But I think what Ollie has done is he's brought in this mixture of keeping up this tradition. I mean, he was a player in the Cardinal system. He's coached in the Cardinal system for over the last decade. He is a Cardinal through and through, so he clearly understands the importance of the tradition of the organization. But he also sees how the game is trending, the modernization of embracing analytics and opposing matchups and the splits and lineup fluidity, something the Cardinals have never really done before. Usually, in years prior, you'd see the same starting 9 pitching. The pitcher would change, of course, but the positions and the players and the batting order would not change. This Cardinals season, it just seems like there is so much more fluidity and flexibility. There is no really set 9. There are different positions based on left-handers, right-handers. You're seeing, it's not exactly groundbreaking science, nor is it the type of platoon that Gabe Kapler uses. But it's definitely an improvement, and I think the Cardinals players and the organization has really benefited from it.
Do analytics, or would analytics have indicated that after a first half in which Pujols had 6 home runs, that he'd go on a tear like this in the second half?
I don't think anyone would have predicted this, but at the same time, Amy, it is truly not surprising when you look at the caliber of player who's doing it. All I know is it is must-watch baseball right now. So
yes,
if you're a fan and you find yourself in a city where the Cardinals are playing, it is absolutely worth seeing Albert Pujols playing one more time.
Oh, amazing. I'm so happy for him, so happy for the Cardinals, and certainly for the St. Louis fan base that he's back doing it where he belongs. And I'm convinced now. I know Oliver Marmol is too, convinced that he's going to get 700. There could be no better storyline to this summer. You can find Katie on Twitter at Katie J. Wu, W-O-O. I just followed her, so you should too. Covers the Cardinals for The Athletic, is in Chicago following yet another big night for this team on both the mound as well as with Albert Pujols. It's great to catch up with you, Katie. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, thanks so much for having me. Have a great night.
You too. That was fun. My gosh, she's like a Cardinals encyclopedia, which is amazing. And I love how she indicates that right now, wherever the Cardinals are, whether it's at home or in Chicago, when Pujols gets to the dish, well, everything stops and people pay attention. That includes conversations. So, good stuff. All right. He is going to hit 700. I'm just going to speak it every night that we have the opportunity because there are still 5 full weeks plus left in the regular season. He's got 7 to go, but A-Rod is up next. What's an impressive, unforgettable, memorable sports milestone that you're so pleased you had the chance to witness, whether it's a first in terms of a team accomplishment or whether it's something like this, where Albert Pujols is making his assault on baseball immortality? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, I know producer Jay is retweeting from our show account, After Hours CBS. And then you can find us on Facebook as well, and our phone number, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This is fun.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Swung on, head of the air to right. That ball is high. That is far. It is gone. It's a Judgian blast in the right field seats. Aaron Judge breaks his 10-game homerless streak with a blast into the right field seats. All rise. There comes the Judge.
There's the 1-0 to Benintendi.
And the pitch is lined to right field. Marte on the run, can't get it. It's a base hit. Scoring Kana Falefa.
Now the 2-2
is strike 3 called. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of John Sterling in the Bronx, where a little home cooking may not always matter in baseball, but a little home cooking with a massive crowd for the 3rd game of the Subway Series. First 2 happened at Citi Field last month, and now they're in the Bronx. Yankees are able to hold off. Not only are they able to score against Max Scherzer, they're able to hold off any comeback from the Mets on this night. So back-to-back wins for the Yankees now as Aaron Judge hits number 47. But don't tell him that it's a home run drought or a homerless streak.
Home run drought. I didn't know that. That's news.
For you.
That's news to me. You know, I really don't really worry about that. You know, I was, you know, just happy to barrel something up and, you know, add to the lead that we already had against, you know, like I said, one of the best pitchers in the game.
Not only did Aaron hit a home run, he was 2-for-4. Andrew Benintendi, 2-for-3 with a couple of RBI. He's starting to perform more like he did when he was with the Royals, really being a table setter, just getting on base. It's not necessarily a skill that is valued in baseball these days, but you can see how important it is when you've got a guy who can hit for average as well as get on the base paths. Now, if you think back to the last battle between the Mets and the Yankees at Citi Field, Max Scherzer got the best of the Yanks as well as Aaron Judge personally. You may remember he struck out 3 times against Mad Max in their last meeting.
He can throw all his pitches in any count, you know, inside, away, you know, up and down. He uses all quadrants. I think just everybody collectively really honing in on the strike zone and trying to get a pitch to drive, really. You know, I was able to kind of work the count a lot and get that pitch count up and then, you know, do some damage when he got some over the plate. One of the reasons why I love this game is the little chess match you get to play with the pitcher and the pitcher and the catcher. And, I mean, you got a, you know, future Hall of Famer like that that you get to do that with. It's electric. You know, you got the crowd on their feet every, you know, every pitch, you know, right along with you. So it's fun. You know, you now look back on, you know, moments like that.
It's good to get a couple of wins against a really good opponents and good pitchers, but it's kind of now on to the next one and keep our head down and keep kind of digging ourselves out and get ourselves back to playing that really consistent brand of ball in all phases.
Max Scherzer allows 4 runs to the Yankees on 7 hits. He only had 3 strikeouts, which is interesting for him. And the last couple of starts, I wouldn't say he's been locked in, though he generally is successful regardless. He does pitch into the 7th inning, didn't get a lot of run support, and that's what Buck Showalter chose to highlight, even if this wasn't a typical Mad Max outing.
I think he'd probably say his command wasn't at the level he spoiled us at, but it was good enough to win a baseball game. The story tonight was we just couldn't get much together offensively. The opportunities we had, they seemed to make a pitch when they needed to. He was solid. I mean, it's very hard to do, and he did it at a high level. And, you know, he'll get an extra day next time out, and I'm sure he'll be good again and give us another chance to win.
It's kind of a, you know, two things are going on at the same time. You know, give credit to the Yankees for what they were able to do, but I can also look in the mirror and, you know, tell myself I can put the ball in better spots and execute better as well. Tip my hat to them. You got to take some licks, you know, when you lose and take a loss and move on and try to figure it out and get better next time.
So in this installment of the Subway Series, the Yankees get the best of the Mets.
It's right in front of us.
Though this is just their 11th win in 31 games. We'll see if they can put yet another win on the board against the Mets on Tuesday. Interestingly enough, Jacob DeGrom will not start on Tuesday for the Mets. Instead, they're putting Taijuan Walker back in the lineup. And so DeGrom's been bumped and will not face the Yankees on this round. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I am blown away by the number of tweets and Facebook posts we've already seen in response to our question. And producer Jay is retweeting from our show account, After Hours CBS. What's the most impressive, memorable, incredible moment or milestone in sports that you've had a chance to witness? And I don't necessarily mean in person. I just mean one that you're thrilled you were able to see with your own two eyes as a witness to history. So whether it's Twitter or Facebook, we're going to try to share as many of these as we can. Our friend Jerry Palm, who is getting ready for college football, he is awake and tweeting. He says, in person, he saw Walter Payton's 275 yards rushing on Disco Demolition Night. And then on TV, of course, the Cubs ending their more than a century long drought and finally winning the World Series. Let's squeeze in a couple calls here before the top. 855-212-4227. Barry is in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Barry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hey, listen, as far as iconic moments, I have a great one, but we're witnessing probably some of it right now with Pujols and Aaron Judge, but that's beside the point. Hank Aaron, number 715. I remember I was a kid playing baseball, 13 years old, and it was a very, very cold night in April in New Hampshire, but me and my dad got to watch Hank Aaron hit number 715.
Wow, that is phenomenal. I wish I had seen that. Do you remember the date?
Oh, early April. In the early 70s.
Okay.
I don't remember the date.
I just looked it up. I just wondered if you remembered it.
Well, I remember the time period, and I remember I was playing baseball at the time myself, but so when was it?
It was April 8th, 1974, and that was the day that he passed Babe Ruth on baseball's all-time list.
Yeah, with great.
Number 715.
I used to have a poster in my bedroom, and it was from behind home plate, and it just shows the ball going out into the darkness. It was great.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm really jealous that you got to see that, Barry. Thank you so much for sharing that memory with us.
Hey, listen, Amy, before
yes.
I let you go, before I say goodbye, the segment with Matt the Musher,
Matt the Musher, yes.
That was great.
Are you referring to his telling us all about the Iditarod?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, we immortalized it on our YouTube channel. If you want to let anyone else listen to it, too, you can share it.
That's cool.
Thanks, Barry. Good to talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
Let's check in with Jack in Green Bay. Welcome to After Hours. You have about 90 seconds. What was your memorable moment?
Oh, I can say this in 90 seconds because I remember it like it was 90 seconds ago. Oh. Imagine wearing a Green Bay Packers uniform and running out of the tunnel at Lambeau Field for your 200th consecutive start. Brett Favre. He made it to 297 consecutive. That's a streak that will never be broken, but no. I'll never forget when he ran out in the tunnel, for his 200th start and the ovation that he got. He was just a complete Iron Man. And today's day in the NFL, it's really tough to do,
yes,
start that many games in a row. So good for Brett Favre. That's one that'll never be broken.
I can agree with you there. Do you remember the date?
I do not, and I'm sure you'll find it for me.
Yes, I looked it up. November 29th, 2004. And not only did he celebrate 200 consecutive starts, he threw 3 touchdowns, of course.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for reminding us of that, Jack. I appreciate it.
No problem.
I'm looking forward to being in Green Bay for a couple of shows following week 2 of the NFL season. I'll be up there to see family and visit my Grammy's gravesite. Not in Green Bay, but after I do that, I'm going to attend Packers-Bears on Sunday Night Football at Lambeau Field. This will be my first ever regular season appearance at Lambeau. And even if you're not a huge sports fan, in Wisconsin, everyone follows the Packers. So Grammy didn't love football. She asked me a lot of questions about football. She didn't love it, but she always watched the Packers with my uncle or with the friends that she had in the various places she lives. So she would be pleased that I'm attending Lambeau and then 2 shows from Green Bay as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.